The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, so as promised, we have a champion, a 14-year NBA veteran, and most importantly, an Oakland Soldiers legend, Kendrick Perkins. What's popping? What's up, Kendrick?
Hey, what's up, boy? What's up, Lo? Kendrick, how y'all doing? Thanks for having me. Look, you know what? I might want to restart this meeting so you can get that intro again.
No, that was great. Hype you up.
I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to send it to you, G.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I got you, man. But Oakland Soldiers legend. I don't think people really know too much of that about you. You got some Bay ties. You played in 2002 with the Oakland Soldiers. That team had DeMarcus Nelson, Leon Poe, yourself, and a guy by the name of LeBron James. You remember that team, Perk?
Ooh, it was crucial. Look, we had a thing when I was on the Oakland Soldiers, we used to have this tracker where we just used to keep up with how many dunks we'll have per game. Like, that was crazy. I mean, but you know what broke up the Oakland Soldiers is that we was down here in Houston, Texas, playing in the tournament, and they set us up for failure. They made us play seven games in one day. We was literally playing every 30 minutes or every hour. And then by the time we got to the championship, we was exhausted and we ended up getting beat by DC Assault in the championship. But that was the time when Leon had tore his ACL. So, you know, it was a bad time. But, hey, that team was fun. We had a dunk. We was getting like 30 dunks a game. Like, it was classic. It was fun times, though.
Where were y'all, like, was that the first time you and LeBron came to the West Coast? Like, how was that for y'all staying out here, even if y'all stayed for a little bit? How was that for y'all?
But what the crazy thing was that I never actually had to go to the West Coast. I just met them on the road all the time. Met Oakland Soldiers on the road, like, for game time. Because, you know, like, in the AAU circuit, you didn't really have to practice as much. Like, when you had a team that was that talented, you get together, the coach throw you some plays, you draw plays, but when you had that much talent, it's not like you needed to practice. We were smacking people by 50, you know what I mean? So, but like, it was cool though, it was different. A lot of people was mad at me, especially the Houston Hoops, because I had played with them for so long, and throughout that whole time, Leon, Braun, and myself, we all competed from like the eighth grade on up. You know, Leon was with the Oakland Soldiers. Braun was with the Ohio Shooting Stars. I was with the Houston Hoops. And we had competed so much through AAU circuits that when we finally teamed up, we was like, man, we about to make the best of this. And it just took
off. What do you think about the way you came up maybe through AAU with all of these talented guys, you among them? And then how did that factor into your decision to go right into the NBA? And not, you know, make that leap for yourself instead of going the college route.
You know what's crazy is that, in my opinion, AAU is stronger than high school basketball. I mean, stronger than playing for your schools. I don't think it'll get their names out there. Like, for example, I never was ranked or nothing to that nature until I joined the Houston Hoops. So, like, AAU did me wonders because – I was able to go out nationally and perform on a national stage in front of scouts and be seen because, you know, if they don't know about you, I mean, if they can't see you, they don't know about you. So once I joined the Houston Hoops, it took off. It, like, took off. So, like, AAU basically, like, saved me as far as, like, putting me out there nationally because we didn't have social media back then. So, you know, if you weren't reading the local newspaper or something to that nature. Like, you couldn't get your name out there. And I remember my first tournament, I went to the Vegas tournament with the Houston Hoops. I was in the seventh grade, and I didn't do too well. I mean, I did okay. I ended up coming back. I was ranked top 50 in the country. Then my eighth grade year, we went to Disney Wild World of Sports, and I did pretty good there. And I was ranked, like, top 25. And then my freshman year, forget AAU, I went to the ABCD camp. And I went to work there. Like, I ended up leaving the best player in the camp. I was ranked number one in our class for, like, 2 months, right? For, like, 2 months over Braun. But without the AAU circuit, I don't know where a lot of guys would be at right now.
Yeah, you were just talking about LeBron today. We were looking at your Twitter because I know everybody's watching The Last Dance. There's like a national watch party last night. And you explained the expectations of LeBron is like nothing we've ever seen in NBA history. If Bron scores 63 or 49 in a series and gets swept, every sports network is talking about his inability to get it done while MJ is getting praised and awarded player of a game in losses. I want to make this into a LeBron James question because people do acknowledge his greatness, but how come they don't put him, I don't know, at the top? Or are there ways in which LeBron James still gets disrespected in your eyes?
I mean, just when you talk about it, see, this is my whole problem with that. This is why I put the tweet out, because so many people want to criticize LeBron or say that he's 3-9 or whatever the case may be in the finals, right? Like, his record in the finals, and Jordan went 6-0 or whatever the conversation may be. And I hate that conversation, and here's why. Like, although championships should help a player legacy, it shouldn't hurt a player legacy. Like, this is not an individual sport like, you know, boxing or an individual sport like tennis, where championships actually define your legacy. Because in my opinion, you could be a great player and just be on a bad team, but have all the individual accolades to be up there. Like, you know, if you want to take a look at it, like, you know, just look at the great Kobe Bryant, right? So, like, God bless his soul, he won one MVP in his career, like one MVP. Like, literally, like, anybody who won one MVP would not be considered in the GOAT conversation. But when it comes down to the LeBron James, he's held to so many different standards. Oh, he didn't do this. He didn't do that. But we're talking about a four-time MVP. Like, this guy is probably going to end up with 35,000 points, 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists. And it's like, I didn't even know until last night that when Jordan put up 63 points that he lost the game. Like, I'm like, hold on. So everyone, including myself, we was talking about these 63 points. But he lost, like, he lost. And like, I'm like, no, I thought he put up 63 and came out victorious. And I'm like, well, if LeBron would have done this, he would have been criticized and would have been like, oh, this was empty stats and all this type of stuff. So I'm just like, oh, my God, like, how can it, like, I mean, I don't understand it. But it's no knock on Jordan. I'm just,
no.
It can't be, like, it can't be this way for Mike and then this way for Braun. No, it got to be this way for everyone.
I was watching Last Dance last night, and I knew we were going to talk to you today. You played both against LeBron and with LeBron. When you're playing with LeBron, what's the circus like around that? Because I saw in the Last Dance, there's a lot, you know, it's like it's Mike and the Bulls, it's LeBron, then there's the Cavs. How was that being in that kind of ecosystem? Do you have any stories for us? How was that being alongside LeBron during that run?
Well, first of all, from being a friend of LeBron's for over 20 years, right, he's one of the most humble guys I ever been around. He's down to earth, great guy. But when I tell you a guy that have to move like the president, like his days are scheduled. Like, his days are scheduled out to the max. Like, and it's not just done by, like, his group of people. It's done by him also, like, people don't understand, like, he is so disciplined. He go to bed at a certain time. Like, I know not to text Braun after 11 o'clock because his phone is down and he's in the bed. Not unless it's like, you know, it's the weekend. But during the week, his stuff is scheduled. Like, every single thing is scheduled. He moves like the president. The thing that impresses me the most is that I've never seen an athlete take care of his body the way that LeBron James does. Like, I ain't watched this guy leave practice, go do a 3-hour commercial, go get treatment, go work out again, go to call me and say, hey, we're going to dinner, go to dinner. He got his trainer there that's giving him a stem unit with a bag of ice on his knees and all type of stuff. So I'm like, man, he's really focused. But it's like the scheduling part, like, and he's able to be a family man, get his family time in, like, and I'm like, bro, how do you do it? But the crazy thing to me about LeBron James is that he is the chosen one in life. Like, I tell him this all the time. I'd be like, dog, I really hate you. Like, literally, I hate you. And he was like, what you mean, Bert? I was like, dog, I hate you, dog, because everything you touch turns into gold. Like, just think about it. All these off-the-court things, like his Blaze Pizza Company is like, at one point in time, it was right under there, like, for his under Chick-fil-A for top franchises in 1 year. He invested, you know, $4 million into a soccer team. All of a sudden, it's worth $30 million back if he want to sell it. And then nobody even know about when Dr. Dre got that big contract for the Beats by Dre, when they wrote him that check, LeBron James got $700 million like, off of that. Like, he was a solid investor in the Beats, and nobody knows this. And I just be sitting back, and he'd be like, Perk, you know you my dog. You need it. I'm like, nah. But it's like, you're really the chosen one. Even when we're gambling, we're playing cards, he always wins. Like, yeah, I'm like, can't be life. Like, he really is the chosen one.
Yeah, how was it? You were on those, like, I want to get to your Celtics stuff. I want to get to your career. But I do, since we're talking about LeBron James, you played with them throughout the run of finals. Most of those whole series was against the Warriors. How was it? How did you guys view the Warriors from 2014-2015 season on to the last final series you played against them?
So I was there on the first stint, right, when we lost to you guys. And I kept saying to myself, I kept telling everybody, I was like, when we was watching the Western Conference Finals, I was like, man, I want to play the Rockets. I think we'll sweep the Rockets. I really don't want to play Golden State. But everyone in the Cavs organization kept saying, nah, we want Golden State. And I kept saying, nah, it's something about this team, man. I'm telling y'all, I don't really want to play them. And because y'all had, like, Golden State Warriors had this, like, you could tell when the team is a real family. Like, I'm talking about before KD got there, like, that first championship, you could tell guys were a unit. Like, you could see it. Like, from the outside looking in, I knew that when they went to dinner, like, they, outside of basketball, everybody went to dinner together. Like, those guys fooled with each other off the court. I was just like, ah, man, I don't really, you know about facing them. I'm looking at Steph and Clay, you know, any those two guys that's capable of going for 50 plus a night. Like, you don't want to play those type of guys. And I just was like, man, I don't know. And everyone was like, nah, we want to see them. And all of a sudden, you know, Kyrie get hurt, K-Love get hurt. And, you know, but to y'all credit, Andre Iguodala, man, he stepped up huge because we disrespected him. Like, people don't understand. Like, no, in the game plan, we disrespected him. We were told not to challenge his shots. Like, let him shoot, let him have it his way, and he stepped up. And all of a sudden, you know, the rest is history. He's Finals MVP.
Like, if he sends suspected, does he let the bench know?
He don't do a lot of talking, but he do, like, a lot of sign language. He do a lot of sign language. You know, a lot of sign language. You don't do a lot of talking and barking, but Draymond do a lot of that for him.
Did you like going up against Dray?
You know what? Listen, Draymond Green is one of my favorite players in the NBA. You know why? Because I just feel like, you know, he's a guy that brings everything to the table to me. And that's just my opinion. Like, you know, some people criticize him, you know, for his stats this year, but I look deeper into that. Like, he's the ultimate role guy. Like, he's a huge role guy. Like, yes, he has made All-Star games, and yes, he's won Defensive Player of the Year. But when you look at him, he's right there under Robert Horry. Robert Horry is my favorite role player of all time. And next is Draymond Green. Draymond Green, surrounded by talent, he's one of the best pieces to a championship team that you could come across. And to me, what he brings to the table, offensively, defensively, his tenacity, people don't understand. He gives the Golden State Warriors swagger. Like, when he's on the court with Golden State, he gives Steph swag, he gives Klay swag, and all that. Like, he gives them their swag.
If you could pick four people to play alongside you, you're part of the starting five, would Draymond Green be one of them? And, like, who else would you want?
You saying out of, like, all the people that I played with or just period?
Period. Let's make it period.
It would be hard to pick Draymond because, like, I don't think him and I would complement each other well. Like, Draymond need a center that's able to jump really, really high and catch lobs. I'm not that guy.
But if you're the center, if he's the power forward, I mean, you could – that's a
– But defensively, I think we, yeah, you know, perk the Boston Celtics perk, and Draymond would be a force to be reckoned with defensively. And I definitely would. If I had four players, I would pick him. I would pick LeBron. I would pick Russ, and I would pick KD. That would be my starting five.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, business owners. So defense might not win championships anymore, but when it comes to protecting your business, your defense better be the best. That's why the team at Bay Alarm brings their best every day. They're on duty 24/7, 365, no matter what, putting burglars out of business, just like they've been doing for over 70 years. It's one more way Bay Alarm puts the pro in protection. So visit BayAlarm.com and get protected today. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Bay Alarm. What have you got to lose?
You brought up a good point, Perk. Now, I've been covering the Warriors since 2017, so I've seen the kind of the evolution.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks, G. So I've been covering them when your last year with the Cavaliers, when Kevin's second year with the Warriors. And I remember you guys, it was right here, Perk. I remember you came into the in the back of the press conference, y'all making jokes and stuff like that. And then I'm seeing that evolution evolve into the playoffs and talking. I'm kind of disappointed, man. I don't know what your relationship stands right now, but y'all two, it seemed like y'all was really homies. When I first interacted both of you guys, and now where is it right now? What's going on with that relationship right now?
Listen, KD will always be my little brother. You know what I'm saying? That little Twitter beef or whatever the case, that was misdemeanor. I mean, you know, as family members or brothers, you fight at times. That's what make you stronger. That's what make your love for one another stronger. You know, at the end of the day, you know, to me, I thought that he looked into those tweets that I was saying about Russell Westbrook the wrong way. And then it led to, you know, him shooting the jab and me shooting the jab and him shooting the uppercut, then me landing the straight right. And it really got blown out of proportion when really, at the end of the day, all I was doing was giving Russell Westbrook his due. You know what I'm saying? Like him, that was his day. I wasn't shooting no slug at KD. But that would be always my little brother. I always got love for KD. You know, KD is who he is, man. You know, he's grown into the man that he want to be, and I just have to accept that. You know, I just it's just a different KD from what I knew when we was in Oklahoma City, and he used to be under my wing all the time. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I just got to accept who the man he is and roll with it. That's who he is. And I got to love him for who he is.
A two-part follow-up to that. Sorry, KB. I'm sorry, KB. Follow-up to that. One, are y'all cool? And two, is there any way different that you would have handled that situation if you could go back?
Yeah, you know what? We are straight. We are okay. Cool. But if I could have handled it any other way, I would have. I mean, if I could have handled it differently, I would have. I would have took a different approach. I wouldn't have fired back at him. I was just caught up because I'm like, bro, like, why are you firing me? Like, I'm part of the media now. You know what I'm saying? I'm just doing my job. I was asked a question on ESPN about where do Russell Westbrook, where do, like, his legacy with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And in my opinion, he is Mr. Thunder. Like, he's the greatest Thunder of all time. It's just like if you talk about the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry is the greatest Golden State greatest Golden State Warrior of all time. You talk about the Toronto Raptors. Kyle Lowry is the greatest Raptor of all time. Does that mean that he's the best player that ever came through? No. Like, we all know that KD is the best player, in my opinion, to wear a Warriors jersey. We all know that KD was the best Thunder to wear a Thunder jersey. Like, at the end of the day, all I'm saying is I was giving praise to Russ, and KD thought I was shooting a slug at him, and then I commented during the tweet. I'm just breaking it down how it went and from my perspective. So then a reporter from Boston was like, well, Russ never got out of the first round. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, what does that mean? KD never got out of the second round without Russ, so they needed each other. And KD thought I was shooting a slug at him when I really wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden it escalated, but I wouldn't have responded. I probably should have just took the blow that he delivered and just sent him a text and was like, bro, I wasn't coming at you like that, and just let it be gone, instead of for me saying, you know what, nah, I'm about to attack you and hit you where it hurt. And I did shoot some below-the-belt slugs that I wish I wouldn't have done, but that's why I made my apology public, because I'm not afraid. Like, I ain't afraid to man up. This is what it is. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to text you on the side and let the public think that me and you still beefing. No, I'm gonna text you that I apologize, and I'm gonna tweet at you and tell you I apologize, bro. Like, seriously, and I'm okay with it.
All of that stuff, that's really big of you to say. What's the best way to understand KD? Because he seems like a sensitive person, a feeler. And I'm not saying sensitive as far as any negative, but maybe he just experiences this world a little different, like with feelings that are really on the surface or raw. What is the best way to understand who Kevin Durant is?
That's a tough question, but I mean, it's like when you're talking about KD, the best way to understand him is just let him be himself. Like, KD is he's a thinker. Like, his thoughts are deep. Like, he sits back and he really, really looks at, if you looked at his Twitter, like, even when the story got put out about him talking about Clay and Steph about a week ago or whatever the case may be, and you go back and reread his tweets, he was saying things like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sitting up here looking at his Twitter like, what are you saying? Like, where you get this from? Like, I'm basically telling them to speak English, but he's thinking it. But I will say this about KD. KD, see, let me give y'all some history. So people think that KD left Oklahoma City because of Russ, and that wasn't the case. KD left Oklahoma City because KD wasn't able to be KD. And when I say that, he wasn't able to speak out when he wanted to. He wasn't able to go on his Twitter and say certain things because, as y'all know, Sam Presti come from the Spurs organization. So in Oklahoma City, when I got there, they run a very tight ship, meaning, you know, they're real strict on certain things. You know, people follow them on their Twitter. People from the organization follow each player on the Twitter and monitor it. So, you know, the year KD won the MVP in Oklahoma City, I remember this, Nike wanted to put a poster outside the arena, like one of those LeBron James posters. And, you know, Sam Presti told KD that it had to be like, I think it was like 15 to 20 miles away from the arena, like, because it was all about team, you know what I'm saying? So they didn't want it like it was an individual thing. And I think like that type of stuff, it was bothering KD. Like, the gym was closed to, you know, like, you couldn't bring your friend in the practice facility if you wanted to work out with him. You had to call a coach. And I think KD just got tired of it. And that's why when he got to Golden State and we started seeing him being more open and start speaking his mind, we're like, hold on, who is this KD? But it's always been KD, but it's kind of like he was kind of like in handcuffs. So when he got, it's almost like us three going to Catholic school, and then when we first go to public school, we like, oh shoot, it didn't change. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It changed. I went to Catholic school all the way to the fifth grade, so I know, like, when I got to public school, I was like, hold on, this is a different type of lifestyle. I ain't got to deal with these nuns. It ain't so strict. You know, things are different. Yeah. So that's how I feel about KD. That's why he's being himself right now.
If I could ask one more question, and then Logan will take us to Boston. Perk, as you step into this world of being a commenter now, a commentator, a broadcaster, when you have to talk about guys you used to play with, guys you're still friends with, how do you determine how much of the truth to say? You know 100% of the truth, but do you maybe only reveal to the public 60%, 70%? Like, how do you swim in these waters?
Well, it's hard because, you know, I got great relationships with a lot of great players, and, you know, their names are brought up all the time. So, you know, I try to keep a great balance, but I keep it real with them. Like, you know, they know if they're having bad games or they did something crazy that I got to go talk about it. Like, am I going to kill you? No. Like, I give you an example. I'm real good close friends with LeBron James. But, like, when Giannis won the MVP and I put out my preseason MVP rankings or whatever, I had LeBron number two and Giannis number one. And I sent him the tweet and said, hey, man, Giannis number one, and that's what it is, because he won it last year. So he was like, oh, don't worry about it. In due time, I will reclaim my throne. But it's like, at the end of the day, I have a job, and I'm not going to throw my guys under the bus at all. Like, but if they have a bad game, I got to talk about them. But how I do it is that I use my relationships to my advantage, and I talk with my guys. So if a topic is brought up about them in a negative way, I actually, and I know I got to go on TV and talk about it, I actually send them the topics. I send them the topics and tell them, hey, look, listen, this is what we got to talk about today. Do you have anything you want to say? And I'm going to go out here and say it for you. Just tell me, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I try to be with my friends.
Yeah, like, that's a two-way street.
Yeah, like, just let me know. This got to be talked about. So If you got anything to say, let me know. And otherwise, I just got to go off how I feel.
Yeah. Is it wild to just – because I know journalists and beat writers have an interesting relationship with players and the people that they cover. I mean, it just is what it is. It just seems like there's, you know, there's a grayer, there's a bit of a – it seems like a bit of a barrier sometimes. How do you go from being the – was it weird for you to go from being the player to being that person that seemed like, you know, the outsider?
Yeah, dude, because, you know, I was like, I used to be the one, because when I got to Oklahoma City, I used to get killed in the media a lot, right? Like, because I signed a contract extension and I wasn't doing this and doing that, and people was just looking at my stats more so than what I was bringing to the table. And so I used to lash out a lot at people that was in the media, like journalists and stuff like when they used to tweet stuff about me, I'd go on Twitter and say something back to them. You know what I'm saying? Then the next day, I'd be in the principal office with Sam Presti, but I didn't care. And then when I got on the other side, I was like, hold on. And then I kind of started educating my friends. Like, I started educating these guys and was like, hey, man, you know, like, if you have great relationships with the media, like, you know, this could go well for you. Now, certain days when you're playing bad, we got to talk about you. Like, if you do something, you got to be held accountable. But, you know, I always tell them, like, hey, look, this is how it works. Man, if somebody asks you for an interview, give them the interview. You know what I'm saying? Because these same people could write something and hub you up on the back end, you know what I'm saying, later down the line. But they're just doing their jobs. And I just was like, you know, like I was constantly preaching to KD, like when I first started, when I learned this, I'm like, KD, first of all, you're Kevin Durant. When you're healthy, you're arguably the best player in the world. This is, I mean, it's no cap. This is serious. So the media, we're going to talk about you, good or bad. Yeah. Like, it don't matter. It don't matter if you want it or not. We got to talk about you. Like, you're KD. Like, you're arguably going to go down as the best score of all time. So I was just telling him, I'm like, look, bro, if something come out about you in the media that you don't like, just don't respond, because it's a one-day topic, maybe two-day topic. Nobody's going to care anymore, and then you can move forward. But when you respond, all of a sudden you make a one-day topic turn into a two-week topic for no reason. And I was just telling them, like, that's why I give LeBron James and Russell Westbrook so much credit, because they never respond to the media. Like, Skip Bayless talk about Bron every single day. Like, every day. Bron never responds. Like, he never responds. Like, it is what it is. Like, just let it go. Russell Westbrook. We haven't – think about this. With Russ, we never heard – Russ haven't said anything as far as even when KD left OKC to nothing. All the heat that Russ get, he never responded to the media about nothing.
Yeah. I mean, Russ responds in other ways.
Yeah, he did. What happened? I missed something?
No, I haven't dealt with Russ that much, but he has his own way with the media. He might not respond, but he might.
I like how he sends messages.
For example, you know what I mean? Jerry Trimble writes an article about him, and then he'll say, "I don't want to answer questions from you no more."
Right. He. You know what, and that's the
– I got you on that one.
No, you're right about that, because let me tell you, Russ do make everyone suffer for somebody else's actions. Like,
yeah.
he do that. So, now I do give you that. Like, he may not say nothing in the media, but he won't give you interviews. Like, man, you're right, that is Russ.
Yeah.
I've always asked this question to players. We know how he interacts with us. But how he interacts with y'all, I've heard, is just totally different. It's more so in line with that MVP speech and why you guys love him so much. What is it about Russell that makes him a good teammate? Why do teammates swear by Russell Westbrook so much?
Because Russ gave you that Cali swag, like that, Cali flavor. What's up, homie? What's up, homie? What's up, big bro? Like, Russ, man, Russ is like, he's night and day from how he is on the court. He reminds me of KG. Like, they are so similar. It's almost like this on and off switch where it's like when you walk into the locker room, when I used to walk into the locker room with KG, I knew from the jump. I'm not saying a word to him. Matter of fact, I don't even want to be in the same room with him. If he's in the training room, I want to be in the locker room. If he's in the locker room, I want to be in the training room, because I don't want to be around him, because anything will piss him off that you're doing. So I want to stay away from him. And it's the same thing with Russ. Like, I knew walking into the locker room on game days, don't say nothing to Russ. I knew on the bus, don't say nothing to Russ till after the game was over with. But then all of a sudden, it's like they both these guys that love to dance, they jamming music. They want to play cards. They want to have fun, live life, like, you know, tell great stories. Like, they all about having a good time. And it's just like, it's almost like a bipolar syndrome. Like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? But they, like, Russ is so great off the court. It's crazy. Like, his parents, his brother, I done been around their families. I done went to their family gatherings. And it's just like, you know, great family reunion vibes. And they just living life, and then all of a sudden he turns into this monster on the court. But it's that Mamba mentality that Kobe blessed him with. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what it is.
Speaking of Kobe, speaking of the Lakers, I got to be honest with you, Perk. This is honesty out right now.
It's all good.
This is my third year in covering the NBA, but I've been an NBA fan my whole life. When I was growing up, I was not a fan of the Celtics, bro. I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
Nobody was, though.
No, but this gonna get you, though. I was a Laker fan growing up in the Bay Area. And I remember watching y'all, and y'all broke my heart in 08. Y'all broke my heart. And there was such a good – but I had to respect you, because it was such a good nucleus in Boston. I always saw that you guys were a family. Always saw that. Whether it was you, Rondo, KG, Ray Allen, at least in those early years. Why couldn't y'all keep that together to win a couple more titles?
And it's crazy, because I was on the phone with Danny Ainge this morning for like 45 minutes. He called me to talk. Well, first of all, Danny is bored, and like all of us, because no basketball, right? So yeah. he know I talk basketball all day. So he called me, and we was talking for like 45 minutes about my tweet about Bron and Jordan and Larry Bird and Bill Russell and why I think Larry Bird is top five and he think Bill Russell is top five. So we going back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Our starting five never lost a playoff series healthy, right? When healthy. Think about it. We never lost a playoff series. KG, in 2009, he get hurt. We push Orlando to a game seven, almost make the Eastern Conference Finals, but we didn't. And then all of a sudden, you know, the next year, I get hurt in game six, tear my ACL. We blew a 14-point lead in 2010 to the Lakers. Kobe going to win his fifth championship. But we never lost the game. I thought 2009 was our best team, in my opinion. 08 was really special. But what's crazy is that everything that happened, it started when I got traded, okay? So how I got traded was that Danny Ainge called Ray, Paul, KG, Rondo, and Doc into the room, all right? And they said, listen, first Danny had called me, and this was like a month before I got traded. He was like, Perk, I have a contract extension for you, but, you know, I don't know if you want it, but I just got to put it out there. So it was like, I was making like $4 a year, and it was like $6 million a year. Well, at that time, a starting center was making like anywhere from between 10 to 15. So I'm like, I don't know, Danny, I can't really take that. Like, as bad as I want to be here for the rest of my career, I can't take that. And he was like, well, yeah, but Perk, you could retire here and like longevity. And then he was just preaching, and I was just, I don't know. So I kind of had a feeling that it might happen, but I never thought it would happen. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't. It was like, you know, it might happen. So Danny calls them into the room, and he like, I got an offer on the table. So at this time, I'm coming back off my ACL injury, right?
That's when you had to go get your bag. I remember this. I remember talking about this. Yep.
So I'm coming off my ACL injury, and they have an old Shaq and Jermaine O'Neal, right? That was starting, and the Celtics was doing just fine. Like, still was the number one, had the best record in the league and all this, right? So at that point in time, it's like, oh, we can win without Perk. You know what I'm saying? And what ended up happening was that they were trying to match and get a small forward, a young small forward, and Jeff Green was available. But what people don't understand was Jeff Green had just turned down a contract extension in Oklahoma City also. So what ended up happening was that once Oklahoma City lost to the Lakers, they were like, hold on, we need a center and we got everything we need, right? To make run at titles. And so Boston was like, we winning with Shaq. Perk might leave us this summer. We need a small forward. We got a trade. They make the trade. I go to OKC, Jeff Green come. After I left, I don't know what happened, but it just went downhill from there. And I mean, you know, still to this day, we're talking about Ray Allen and KG beef, and which I don't think will ever be solved. KG is a big brother to me. I ride with him till the wheels fall off because he is a lawyer friend, lawyer big brother. But what happened was this. So Ray, during that time, Ray wasn't happy because Doc made him the sixth man, right? Mm-hmm. He made him come off the bench. He wasn't happy about that. And during that time, Boston had took a 3-2 lead over Miami.
Yep.
And that's when LeBron went to Boston and went crazy in game six, right? Yeah. That kind of defined his legacy a little bit. When he went off in that game six, because if they would have lost that and the Celtics would have beat them in that series, like, Bron's legacy would have been, like, torn to pieces. So he had to deliver, which he did. So they go to game seven. They lose the game seven. But guys felt like that Ray wasn't all the way in. And guys saw Ray talking to Bron and some of the Heat players after the game. And the way that they was rocking at the time, if you wasn't Celtics, like, we had a rule in that Celtics locker room, like, you know, if you wasn't bleeding green, we wasn't fooling with you. You know what I'm saying? Off season we could, but you better not go over there after a game and talk to nobody. And our locker room wasn't open for people to walk in or none of that. Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening was they felt like that Ray had checked out on them. And during that summer, Danny had a deal on the table for 2 years, I think it was $12 million, $6 million a year for Ray, right? Ray wasn't calling nobody. He didn't answer nobody phone calls. All of a sudden, he signs a 2-year, $6 million deal with the Heat.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like a slap in the face with no warning, no nothing. So it's like, what? That's how you rock it, right? And all of a sudden, like with KG, it was like, that was it. Like, nah, bro, like no loyalty. Like you preaching this and this how you do it. And like with KG, I know what, like it ain't no in between with KG. You either, yeah. He either don't like you or he love you to death. That, like that's just how he is. Like he's a loyal guy. And if he's your friend or anything, he gives you his heart. And so that's why I think the Celtic team broke up.
Do you think that, because, I mean, there's also the other side of that argument that Ray got dangled in trade talk and he was pissed about that. Did you see that from your vantage point? And do you think you understand that point of view if he did think, oh, man, y'all trying to trade me anyway. I'm trying to dip.
Well, here's the thing, though. Ray was always the guy, look, listen, let me tell y'all what's really going on. Ray, since 2008, Ray was the one that always had a problem with accepting his role on the team. Now, we all know when that big three was formed that KG was the best player on that team. There's no doubt in no one's mind. No disrespect to Ray, no disrespect to Paul. Like, Paul and Ray are both great players. They were great players. They did their things. Paul was one of the – he might go down as an all-time great Celtic player. He will. His jersey is retired. But KG – was the best player on that team. KG got to that team, and guess what he did? He put himself third. He was like, we go run this Paul team, Truth, this your squad, Perk, you and I go set screens, we go get Ray open. Ray, we need you to do this. This is what you go do, and Perk, you and I, we go anchor this defense. Rondo, you go be the point. You go make sure you orchestrate the offense, get everyone involved. Perk, you and I, we gonna hang our hats on this defensive end. He put himself last, and he was like, Doc, if you need me, I'm here. You need me to go down here and get a bucket, I got you, but this is what I'm doing. So we used to have to force feed KG. Like, we used to pass it to the post, and he'll see me dunk in just on the decoy, and he'll just hit me with it, and Doc would go crazy. We all would, like, KG, go to work. Like, go to work. But, like, Ray had a problem. Like, we would say, because we all know, like, if Rondo don't have the ball in his hands, he's not effective. Like, he's not offensively. Like, he needs the ball in his hands. That's what he do. He's a point guard.
Yeah.
Ray was like, Ray and Rondo used to crash heads. Ray would want to dribble up the court. Rondo would be like, bro, give me the ball. I'm getting you easy looks. And it was always like, we always had to go back to Ray. Ray, what's the problem? Rondo ain't the only person to make plays. Paul ain't the only person to make plays. I could be a playmaker too. So it was like, we always had to go through this with Ray, a debate with Ray about, and he just would. Like, it was always, it'll be cool for a couple weeks, and Ray will go back to what Doc will have to call him out in film. Ray, swing the ball. Ray, just come off the pin down and shoot it. So that's what really happened. Like, he had a problem with sacrificing, and towards the end, the relationship was damaged, and Danny was looking to trade Ray. Like, one thing about Danny is that he's always been honest. Like, he never lies to players. Even when he drafted me, he used to tell me, Hurt, I'm going out today to scout to look for somebody that's better than you that I can replace you. Like, he never lied. He told me a lie. He always kept it 100 with me every single time.
Do you feel like that's rare from a person in a front office?
It is because a lot of people in the front office want to be so secretive, and you know, they want to smile in your face, but all the time they're trying to trade you. Like, they don't even understand, like, nowadays, all you have to do is be up front with guys. Like, that's the best way to go about it. Like, but that's why now you see guys leaving franchises and they're doing stuff to franchises because franchises have been doing it to players for so long. Like, guy come smile in your face, but the whole time he know he about to cut you tomorrow. Like, no, it's cool to smile, but give a person a heads up. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of – I see now a lot of general managers are being honest with guys. One thing I know, Sam Presti was very honest with us, and Troy Weaver, he was very honest in Oklahoma City. Dale Demps in New Orleans, horrible. He was. It was because of him, it was like the worst experience of my life. He just died and threw a lot of people under the bus. And, you know, it was like, and this is so crazy. I never wish this on people, but like when he got fired, it was the happiest day of my life. That's how bad I did it. Like, seriously, it was the happiest day of my life. My basketball, like, I was so happy because you, like, and let me give y'all the backstory of this.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, there we go. Yeah, come through.
Any story you want to tell?
So I'm with the Pelicans, right? And, you know, I signed a 1-year deal. I'm brought in to be a vet to the team that just made a playoff run, and I'm supposed to be a vet and you know, lead these guys. I take AD under my wing. You know, I'm trying to take Drew Holiday under my wing. And so, you know, I'm doing what I do. You know, I'm bringing that leadership. I'm working hard. I'm bringing that winning mentality. And, you know, all throughout the season, they're coming up to me saying, man, you really have changed our culture. And, you know, he's calling me in the office telling me, hey, you know, man, we want you to retire as a Pelican. You know, 2-3 years down the line, we want to sign you to a deal, vet minimum. We want you to retire here. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. So February comes, right? And Sam Presti and at the time David Griffin both tried to trade for me to get – one tried to get me back in Oklahoma City and another one tried to get me back with the Cavs, right, for the locker room presence, championship, leadership, that type of stuff. By the way, he cost me a ring because that's the year that the Cavs came back. Anyway, I don't even want to talk about it, right? So he cost me a championship. But then he tells them, oh, no. Perk is not going anywhere. So Bron called me like, bro, I'm trying to get you back over here. We need you in the locker room. What's going on? I said, well, what happened? He was like, man, Dale Demps was like that. You're not touchable. Like, they said the ownership ain't going for it. I was like, well, I mean, you know, I can't do nothing about it. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I got my mind that, hey, I'm about to probably be here with the Pelicans the next 2 or 3 years after this, trying to bet minimum. I'm going to ride it to the, off into the sunset, you know, then retire, right? So summertime come. We didn't make the playoffs. We had a lot of injuries. I'm not hearing from Dale Demps. It's May. It's June. Still not hearing from him. I'm like, oh, maybe dealing with draft stuff. July come. Still don't hear from Dale Demps. All of a sudden, August come, and he's like, he calls me. So I'm like, what's up, Dale? What's going on? What's up? When we go get this underway, I'm ready to, you know, kids about to start school. You know, when we need, I need to move my family up. He's like, well, kind of had a change of mind, and you know, Perk, it's hard. Guys in the locker room thought you were a little bit too tough on them. And he talked, by the way, the guys that he was talking about was Amir Asik, a guy that he traded that same year, and Alexis Ajinsa, right? Because I was real tough on them because they had both just got paid and both had got lazy. And I didn't want them to do that. Like, if you look, go back and check, like, I had to start. You remember, I started against Golden State when I was with the Pelicans in game one when we played y'all.
Yeah.
And because one pulled his hamstring, one pulled his calf muscle because they were out of shape. And so I was on them all the time. I'm trying to put heart into them because I know this is what I'm bought here for. So he's like, Perk, man, you know, you're a little harsh. And I'm like, Dale, what? Like, are you serious right now? First of all, you just cost me a championship. And second of all, I don't even know because Now, if maybe if I'm in Oklahoma City and I'm in that locker room, they don't blow that 3-1 lead to the Warriors, right? So I'm, all type of things going through my mind. And, like, usually when you win a championship with a team, they bring the whole team back. That's usually how it goes. So if I'm in Cleveland, now I get to come back with Cleveland. I have nothing on the table, like nothing. No teams are calling for me or nothing. And he just like, and it was like me and him getting to a whole argument. I just hangs up the phone. And then he tries to spread like bad rumors about me to other organizations, young organizations. And, yeah, hurt this in the locker room. I never had that in my life. Like, anybody from any organization I played with always had positive things about me. And it was like that I set out for almost a year and a half, like waiting on a phone call that I never got because of Dale Demps and his BS. Like, he lied to me and then like reneged on me and like and just like threw everything that I had going on in my whole basketball career down the drain, in my opinion. And I just, that's one man I really just don't like.
Have you seen him since? Or, like, what would it be if you happen to be in the same space?
He won't come around. He's what you call a cow. He's a guy that throws stones and hides his hand. Like, he would never come around. And to end on that point, he is – so many guys were telling me when I got there, they were like, you know what? Hey, Perk, don't trust their dimps, man. Don't trust them, I'm telling you. Like, guys were telling me this, but when I got there, I'm like, oh, damn, cool, man. He like me. They like, I'm telling you. And I'm like, you know what? I should have thought about that after he fired Monty Williams, after he just took that franchise to the playoffs, right? I was like, and Monty helped him get the job. So I was like, all this didn't register to me to after the fact. That's why I don't like Dale Demps.
I see that we're doing a story time. We're almost out of here with you, but we're gonna play a game right fast. I'm gonna give you three names one at a time, and you got to give me a story on them.
Okay, Ben.
Okay.
First name, Kevin Garnett.
So look, we on a plane, right? Uh-huh. So listen, our plane rides with the Celtics used to be classic, right? Mm-hmm. KG bringing this big old boom box, right? We jamming music. I'm talking about this one, the new Rick Ross album come out. And everybody got to hear. So no matter if you don't feel like listening to music or you planned on going taking a nap, that's your fault. Like, we got a big coin game going on. We got a dice game going on. We got all type of stuff going on the plane. And we jamming music. We got racks everywhere, cash everywhere. It's going down. You hear me? So, KG, when we was with the Celtics, man, we used to bet on everything. I'm talking about, we were so competitive outside of basketball. We used to bet like, I bet you can't go do 50 push-ups in the snow. We'd be like, bet, how much you want to pay? He's like, I bet you 1,500. You want, boom, go knock out 1,500 push-ups in the snow with just your tights on, like that type of stuff, right? So, we on the plane, and I don't know. We used to have these games where we used to play. We used to call G-unit runs, meaning it was one-on-ones with me, Big Baby, and Leon Pope. We used to play every day after practice, one-on-one. First to five will win, and it used to get physical down there, right? So we get on the plane, so they like, who won today? I was like, shh, you got to ask that. Working them. So I'm talking noise. And so Big Baby and Leon, they had kind of gotten into it. That's how I won, because they got into like a little scuffle. So they mental was gone, but I'm still, you know, I'm jump hooking, still giving them their work, right? So KG was like, man, y'all think y'all tough? Man, y'all ain't built like that. Y'all lucky I'm in year 17, whoopie whoop. Otherwise, I'd be down there. So I don't say nothing. I'm like, man, whatever, you know, whatever ticket. So Big Baby then was like, so Paul was like, yeah, ticket really one of the strongest ones in here on this plane on the cool. So Big Baby and Leon was like, nah, no, he ain't. I don't know how this got brought up, but all of a sudden we went from basketball talk to who is the strongest. To all of a sudden now, Big Baby and Leon Pope are arm wrestling for money. right? So they arm wrestling for money. So Big Baby beat Leon, right? So Big Baby's take up, he stand up, he huffing and puffing. So KG kind of looking at Big Baby, Big Baby looking at him. And so KG, Big Baby ain't even say a word. So KG like, but what you saying? So yeah. So Big Baby like, what you mean? What? So KG was like, what you saying? You want some of this? So all of a sudden now, it's like, y'all got to do it. So all of a sudden, Paul screams, I got my money on tickets. So I'm like, what? I'm like, everybody like, man, bet. We rolling with Big Baby. There's no way KG about to beat Big Baby in an arm wrestling contest. So Paul dropped like 10 racks down on the floor. Everybody matching in 1,000 apiece, right? KG, he takes off his sweatsuit, so he got a shirt on. So he like, so they sit down at the table, card game broken up, everything. So they get in. They like this here, right? So KG looking at him like this here. So Paul got his hand, he like, go. So Big Baby's trying to go, he's straining. He's like, So for like 10 seconds, KG just locked in and he like, I ain't going nowhere, MF. And then all of a sudden, KG just keep going. Then, boom, he slams Big Baby, right? Stands up, takes his shirt off. He's in a full sweat. Now, mind I tell you, when we was making those runs with the Celtics, right, we used to have fans that were traveling on the plane with us. Like, we used to have fans that were like win these certain, like it was like 15 fans, like you could win a trip and travel on a 2-day road trip with the Celtics, go to the game, stay in the hotel room. So they're on the plane. So KG wins, first of all, the music jamming. He stands up, take off his shirt. He's in a full out lather. So might I tell you, the coaches then came up front to watch it, Doc them, all of them. So he's in a full out lather. He wins, he stands up, he yells, oh, I'm the MF and Silverback in here. Who else wants some? And then to top it off, so like you should see all these fans, right? Right? So like all these fans on the plane, and they're like, oh my God. Like, you know, because it's like it's the hood up front, though.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's banging. So all the fans like, oh my God. And all you just hear after that is Paul say, my cheese! And then he just collected all the bread. Dog. It was just a classic story. Like,
oh!
Yeah, that was just
right.
One story.
All right. That's number one.
Oh, my God.
We got two more.
You got slogans?
LeBron James. I need a LeBron James story.
Man, I got so many. LeBron James story. Ooh, he got a lot of them. But you know what? The thing, let me tell you about this LeBron James story, because to me, this was a great story for me, and it was a great story for my wife. And I, like, we were, I forgot what happened with me and my wife, but something had happened where we were, like, kind of on bad terms. Just going through, you know, regular marriage problems, right? Mm-hmm. And Braun, we were in Chicago. We had flew to Chicago. We playing the Bulls at the time in the Eastern Conference. Was it?
No. Eastern semis, was, right?
Eastern semifinals, right? And so it was Mother's Day. And what he did was, Braun's wife, Savannah, my wife, are real close. And what he did was, without him even telling me, he surprised me, and he flew his wife and my wife up for Mother's Day on his private jet, had dinner set up. We went out to dinner, we kicked it. It's a lot of stories, but that was one that really showed me like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really loved me and messed with me as a brother. You know what I'm saying? Outside of basketball, like, because he didn't have to do that, but he did. You know what I mean? And it just showed that he really cared, because Bron and I had like a lot of emotional talks, and you know, we share a lot of things, like we good friends. But you know, let me tell you this about him, right? LeBron, the only thing Bron is not honest about is playing cards, right? He starts with a stack this big, right? And all of a sudden, his stack is like this at the end of the game. And we're like, man, who won all the money? Like, man, I lost today. And he like, I ain't win. The whole time, he didn't win like 25,000. But he always say, I ain't win, Ferguson. It wasn't me today. But like, that's, like, out of all the stories, like, that's one that always stick with me, because to me, it was genuine, like, and it just showed, like, he really cared. Like, so despite, like, all the gifts that we used to get, like, the backpacks, the Beats by Dre limited edition headphones, like, he used to bless me with all LeBron James shoes, like, still get packages to this day. Like, the list goes on when you talk about Bron, but, like, he bought everyone suits. And I don't understand, like, people don't understand during the playoffs, like, those suits are not cheap. Like,
Tom Brown is not cheap.
It's not cheap. And people, like, was making jokes about it, but, like, that's not cheap. Like, each one of us got three suits, a nice bag, shoes, like, ties, clips, like, that was something to be like, man, like, Bron is real. Like, he always used to walk in the locker room, and it's always a gift in the locker room. But, like, far as, like, stories about Bron, I just used to, far as a teammate, I used to just be amazed on how he carried himself. Like, it was crazy to me how he was able to deal with the hype but still be a humble guy. And the way he would go shoot commercials, wake up at 5 in the morning, and then at 7, like, hey, you coming to the crib, come watch the game. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. And it's just like, he's a normal person. But then when you go out in public with him, it's like, he's President Obama.
Yeah.
Last one. That's dope, Pete. Last one. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I think I told these stories, but, man, it's two stories that I have with Kobe. One, we just beat them in 08, right? So mm-hmm. I'm outside. I'm in Vegas doing summer league. I'm getting ready to hit the club. I'm outside the club thinking whether or not, you know how Vegas is, right?
Yeah.
You know, if it's a club that's popping, you might have to spend $10,000 on a section, right? So I'm like, I'm outside the club debating whether I'm about to spend $10,000 or I'm about to go to the bar. You know, and I don't know if I really feel like spending this or not. So, man, Kobe and I never said anything to each other, right? And first I'm standing there and I see two guys in super, like, earpieces in their ear walk by, like, real fast, like, black and white suits. And then I see two more. And then I feel a guy come from behind me and bow hug me. So I'm like, hold on, what the hell going on? Turn around, it's Cole, right? He like, Perk, what's up, boy? And I'm like, huh? Like, he don't even know, like, I'm a fan of yours. Yeah, I just went to walk with you, but I'm a fan of yours. And he's like, what's up, boy? You coming in? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be in a minute. He was like, man, y'all got us on this one, but we'll be back. But boy, I tell everybody all the time, man. Man, you the best post defender in the league. And I was just like, he was like, man, yeah, if you come in here, man, just come in here and holler. But I decided not to go in. But I was like, man, did Cole just really tell me this? He did. Like, he really told me this, like, and just came and really acknowledged me. And then on top of that, I remember when I was with OKC, I switched out on Cole on the pick and roll. And it was like 5 seconds on the clock. So, you know, I mean, I'm feeling myself. I clap my hands. I'm like, right? So then he comes, he hit me with a crossover. He hits with a crossover, come back between the legs. He hit me with a hesitate. I go for it. So I'm thinking he's driving. By then, I'm already doing the cha-cha slide, right? I'm already doing the dance. So he hits the tray ball. Boom. So we running back down the court. He like, hey, Perk, look, man, I like you, man, but don't make me tear that other AC. I couldn't do nothing though but laugh, man. But like, it was just like, that was just him, like, you know what I'm saying? That killer instinct, man. Like, you had to respect it.
Mm-hmm. Man, Perk, I really appreciate these stories coming through, bro. I really, you always been a stand. I mean, I've met you earlier in the season, man. You always been a stand up dude to me. I appreciate you coming on the Running Plays Pod, G.
Hey, oh, KB, I appreciate y'all. This was dope, for real. This is really, really dope. I appreciate it. Like, I had fun with this, for real. This is one of the best pods I'd have been on. This was real,
for sure. Dope. Hey, love you it, are man. Welcome anytime, bro. You are welcome. Just holla at me. You are welcome anytime. You want to get something off your chest, holla at me, man.
I appreciate it. Listen, we gotta get back to normal life so we can get to basketball. No. I'm going to man. Pause over here, man.
So I was saying, listening to all your stories made me think about how like precarious moments in time are, like how much people want to win a championship when they can. Man, Logan's been hanging on since 2008 to tell you about the Celtics beat the Lakers. So.
It hurt. Hey, that night hurt, man. I remember I was in Oakland. It was. Y'all gonna? I'm gonna make y'all feel old. I was a freshman in high school, and I remember that night coming through, and I just remember walking in the door and Ray Allen hitting like one of his six threes, and y'all was up 40, and I was so sad. I was so sad at that point.
Hey, Logan, let me tell you, at that point in time. This is one thing that we knew. If we got a team to the Boston Garden, it was a wrap, right. Man. We knew that. That's why I knew, man, when we played that game 7 in 2010 and it was in LA, I was like, oh man, this is not good.
Yeah, I remember that game too. I was cheering that night, but
Seriously, anytime, man. Anytime, y'all. I appreciate it. It was really, I really had fun. It was
thank
really
you. Great.
All right, big dog.
All
right. Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.